Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled The Christian First Aid Kit was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
If you think properly, really, Satan can't do anything to us. The worst he could do is kill us. That's no big deal. And some of you think, you're crazy. You're weird. I think you're weird. This is the attitude that the Bible says we're supposed to have. We're supposed to not count our life that big of a deal. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's faith. And if you don't have that attitude, that's the reason your heart is troubled. You know, I just got back from China, and we saw people over there that have been beaten for their faith, cattle prods, tortured, beaten. One man was in prison for 10 years, and they did unspeakable things to him. And he got out, and since he's been out in the last 20 years, they started 200,000 churches. Probably over 10 million people in his churches. Doesn't have much money, doesn't have much of anything. Nobody will ever know about him. I can't tell you his name because the government's looking for him, would love to have him. He'll never be famous. He'll never be rich by American standards, and yet he's happy and he's glorifying God because he's found out that there's something more important than all of these things. Some of you are upset because you haven't got your fifth flat screen TV yet. This guy probably doesn't even have a flat screen TV and wouldn't care if he did have one. There's something more important than that. And he doesn't get upset because he hasn't got this and he doesn't drive that. And I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have things, but I'm saying our priorities are so misplaced. We are so focused on this natural world, and if everything doesn't go exactly right and you didn't get the promotion that you wanted, these people are just thrilled that they aren't in prison being tortured, and they're thankful for that. And yet we get upset because somebody else got the promotion, because somebody else got the recognition, because this happened or that happened. Or man, just get over it. Pull your thumb out of your mouth. Grow up. Realize, you know, if we would put our eyes on the Lord and get to a place like some of these people, man, you just realize this stuff's not that important. It's not that big of a deal. If this person doesn't like you and criticizes you for being a Christian, we go to crying and go to, oh God, this person has criticized me at church. I mean, at work, they're giving me a hard time. Man, go over and meet the people that have been beaten, that have been martyred. The people that are printing my books in China, the guy that gets it done has to go through two different people and pass notes and do all of this stuff to hide it. He doesn't even know who it is, because if they catch this guy that's printing the books, they kill him immediately. You know what? That's persecution, but having somebody look at you and roll their eyes because you believe in healing, you know, just get over it. Get into faith and realize, man, that praise God. I tell you, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the mercy, because if I was God, I'd just turn you into a pile of ashes. The first time you went to griping about, oh God, my finger hurts, and because of it, you're thinking about renouncing your faith in the Lord and you aren't going to go to church because you got, you know, I'd just drop kick you right off the earth, amen. Have you floating in outer space and say, how do you feel now, amen. Man, praise God, I'm not God. Man, God is a merciful God, but you know what? We ought to get over it. And this is what the Lord is saying, is get over it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. He had told them 14 times, I'm going to come back and be resurrected. If they had really believed the word of God, they could have been rejoicing during this terrible time. They could have been thinking, man, how is this going to work? I saw him crucified. I helped bury him. How is this? They could have been excited. They could have actually been in faith instead of in fear. You know, you could actually get to a place where through a rough time, you say, I know it's going to work out. The worst thing that's going to happen, I'm going to go to be with Jesus, but I believe God's going to deliver me from this. And you could actually get into faith. You know, when my son died, I was called and told at 4:15 in the morning that my son was dead. And like anybody, I started to have feelings of grief and sorrow and things that anybody would. But on the way in, I just don't believe that I have to have that. And I was basing it primarily on this verse and this teaching that I've done, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I said, I am not going to be troubled. I am not going to operate in grief. I am not going to be in sorrow. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to be depressed. And many of you think, but if your son died, you can't help it. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. And I decided I am not going to let my heart be troubled. And on the way into town, I just started praising God because I felt like crying and I didn't want to. And so I started operating out of who I am in Christ. And I started praising God and talking about how awesome God was. And I told him, God, you did not kill my son. I'm not mad at you. You're a good God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. And I just started worshiping him. And you know what? When the word came, when we got this phone call, you know the very first words that came out of my mouth is what I heard Pastor Bob Nichols say. The first report's not the last report. And that's what I said. The very first words out of my mouth. He had just said this at a minister's conference. And I said, the first report's not the last report. Don't let anybody touch him till we get there. And on the way in, I just went to thanking God and praising God. And God reminded me of prophecy. And he encouraged me. And pretty soon, I got into faith. And I got to rejoicing and laughing, telling Jamie, this is going to be the greatest thing we've ever seen. And when we got to the into Colorado Springs, my oldest son met me. And he said, Dad, I don't know what happened. But 5 or 10 minutes after I called you, Peter just sat up and started talking. He was in a morgue. He was on a slab in a cooler, stripped naked with a toe tag on it, been dead for 5 hours, and sat up and started talking. No brain damage, no more than he had before. Praise God. It was awesome. And you know, I am absolutely convinced that one of the important things that worked there was the fact that I just said, I am not going to let my heart be troubled. If I had given in to it, I guarantee you, I don't think I would have had the results that we had. I'm not trying to condemn anybody by saying that. But I am telling you that the Bible says don't let your heart be troubled. How do you do it? Believe God. Believe God. Man, that's powerful. And I can guarantee you there's people right here in this auditorium that you've got crisis because we live in a fallen world. There's bad things that happen to every single person. You can't necessarily keep bad things from happening, but you know what? You can let not your heart be troubled. You can stand up. You can operate in faith. You can put it into its perspective. And you can believe God. And if you believe God, you are going to come through on the other side. You know, another story about Pastor Bob, I hate to just keep using him, but I do this when he's not around. I use these stories all the time when I preach on this. But I remember when he moved into the First Baptist Church, I forget the exact details, but they only had between 100 and 200 people in the post office. And when they moved into First Baptist, it was a huge 2,000-seat auditorium. The payments were out of sight. He was trying to refinance it. He had a balloon payment stuff. I told him, I said, you know what, if I'd have been one of those, I think there was like less than 200, and when they moved in, half of them left because they thought you're crazy. So he even had less people. And I told him, I said, if I'd have been one, I might have thought you were crazy. I mean, this was huge, huge step of faith for 100 and something people to take over a, what was it, 200,000-300,000 square foot facility. It's huge facility. And anyway, because of that, he had financial problems for a number of years. And he talked about one time they were facing a balloon payment and it was crisis. And he went out and laid in a field because he had to have a word from God. And laid there all night long waiting on God to speak to him and crying and waiting on God. Nothing happened. And so it was beginning to get light. People were beginning to drive by. People could see him laying in the field. And he finally decided he'd get up. Anyway, he got in his car and turned his car on. And he heard a voice saying, "Preacher, you don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God." And it was R.W. Shambach on the radio. But he didn't recognize it. He just turned his key off and thought, was that God? And then he realized that it was the radio and Shambach. But you know what? The damage had been done. He got the message. He'd been praying all night long. Oh, God, speak to me. And the Lord said, you don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God. And you know what? It worked out. And he came through it. And this facility is paid off and debt free. And it worked. Praise God. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we've got the power of God on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort you in all of your tribulation so that you can comfort all others with the same comfort that you've been comforted with. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is there. It says that when this is the rest, this is the refreshing wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, even speaking in tongues. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to quicken you. And all you have to do, speaking in tongues is like flipping a switch that automatically just starts this engine, this dynamo running that releases power. And we've got Spirit-filled Christians that have this ability on the inside that are just sitting there whining and talking about, oh God, please help, and not using what God has given us. I tell you, if you will encourage yourself, if you will do what you can do, then God will take that little step of faith and He will supernaturally energize it. But you have to let not your heart be troubled. You have to believe God. There's some people here tonight that you need to take that first step of faith. And instead of nursing your pain and nursing your hurt and nursing your fear, and nursing all of these negative things and feeling totally justified and going to people and wanting everybody to pity you. Many of us are codependent upon the natural and we're looking for only natural human results and we're trying to deal with our crisis in a totally carnal way. I'm telling you, you need to take a step of faith.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled The Christian First Aid Kit. This 6-part series was recorded at our 2010 Fort Worth Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1070C for CD or R3213D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RSK17C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to become a part of what God is doing here in Colorado Springs. This is where we're training our Bible college students, and they are literally going around the world. I'm convinced that this is how God has ordained that we change the body of Christ is through discipleship, and that's what we're doing. We're building a headquarters where we can have a campus with 3,000 students. And to do that, it just takes a lot of money. God has supplied us with a beautiful acreage in Woodland Park that we're calling the Sanctuary, and we're calling the people who help us accomplish this project and raise up a first-class Bible college campus, our foundation builders. I ask you to pray about it and then call and become a foundation builder today.